components, the horizontal, or vertical and horizontal. They're time shifted by 90 degrees. And usually what happens is when the vertical scatters, it'll scatter into the horizontal, from the horizontal into the vertical. So if you look at it statistically, you know, the odds of both polarizations destructively interfering at the same time and in the same location is much less than if you had only a single polarization. It basically fills in all those holes and gaps due to destructive interference. So now moving on to the indoor tests. Here we're inside a mall early in the morning when they only had walkers, about 9 miles away. And we picked the absolute worst case within the mall. You can see here in the GPS route, we're right in the middle of the building, about as far deep inside the building as we could get. So here are the results in this case. Parallel mode, we had about a 1.5 dB improvement. Perpendicular, about 9.5. Then we went to an office complex and basically did the same thing. You see all this, a lot of heavy scatter, metal roof, just a fading nightmare. We're right in the heart, in the middle of this big building. And here, we saw a 12 dB margin improvement in the parallel and a 7 in the perpendicular. So let's stop and just make some observations now of the indoor testing. If we take the average of all those measurements, we saw about a 6.8 dB margin improvement in the parallel and over 8 in the perpendicular. So the first thing you might say is, well, you know, the results are similar indoors and outdoors. Why is that? Well, again, it has to go back to fading. Circular polarization helps mitigate those effects of fading by filling in the holes and gaps, as I described. And the fading is present both indoors and outdoors. The only difference between the indoors is that you have large-scale fading, which is basically attenuation going through the walls and structure, the structures itself. And large-scale fading, really, what that does is it shifts the mean signal strength up and down. So if you look at our curve, once you adjust it for fading, it's flattened out here. If you adjust the mean signal strength up and down, you're not changing the gap between the benefits of CP and VP. All you're doing is moving it up and down. So what you can say is that the benefits of circular polarization hold true whether you are indoors or outdoors. So now let's move on to the drive testing. This gets pretty interesting. We mounted the mobile unit in the back of a hatchback. And you know, you got metal floor, metal ceiling. It's inside a metal box inside the car. And we go for a 60-mile drive. Now what you can see is that if you take the average over this long drive run, circular polarization really has got no benefit. In fact, we saw about a 0.5 dB worse margin improvement, negative margin improvement, for CP over vertical. Why is that? Well, there's a good explanation for it, but I'm going to explain it in a minute. So to help explain it, the next test we did was we went outside the car and put a small monopole on top of the car, as you can see here. And again, went for a long drive, about a 25-mile drive. Now, in this case, circular polarization starts to show an advantage. On average, about 1.5 dB. So then we said, okay, let's get farther off the top of the car. We went to a large monopole on top of the car and went for another long drive. Now you'll see circular polarization starting to creep away an advantage over vertical polarization. Now we see a 2.5 dB, you know, pretty much a clear advantage over vertical polarization. So let's do a summary of this. We saw that inside the car, we basically have no advantage. Put the small monopole on top of the car, we start to see an advantage. We go farther above the top of the car, and we get more of an advantage. So why is this? Well, there's a good explanation for it. And you have to go back to Maxwell's equations to understand this. There's a boundary condition that's used to solve Maxwell's equations that states the E field tangent to the ground plane is always zero. So if you look inside the car, you've got a ground plane on the bottom and a ground plane on the top. Well, the E field tangent to that ground plane is the horizontal polarization. So that's basically being filtered out. And really, all you have left is the vertical polarization. So to help show this, we did a HFSS simulation of a circularly polarized wave incident on a ground plane. So you see down here along the ground plane, all that you have left in field is the vertical polarization. But as you start to get farther above that ground plane, you can see that circular polarization becomes intact again. So here's the conclusions. In situations where the receiver is not directly above or below a ground plane, circular polarization provides a significant advantage over linear polarization in mobile applications. Excuse me. Now think about that. You know, who needs margin? It's usually not the policeman or the fireman that has a 20 or a 40 watt radio and a nice efficient whip antenna on top of his truck. It's the pedestrian or the mobile user using a small handheld, very low power, with an inefficient antenna. Those are the ones that need the margin. And we saw that circular polarization provides margin both indoors and outdoors. And finally, that our bit error rate testing confirms what we've been saying for the last 4 years, that CP provides about 5 to 7 dB of margin improvement over linear polarization. And the bottom line here is that circular polarization, I feel, will be necessary to maintain reliable mobile connectivity. Thank you.
Thank you. That was very interesting. I have a question about the outdoor rig that you were using, though. While I guess the form factor for the consumer device that's going to be used in personal applications is still kind of up in the air, it's probably going to be something like a cell phone or some handheld device. And as such, it's really going to be close to your body. And I know from other work done with pagers and walkie-talkies, when you start to get that coupling into the body, the body actually becomes a very significant component of the antenna. So I'm just wondering whether you have or are planning to do anything where, in fact, the antenna is not quite as pristine as it was on your baby buggy and maybe coupled into the body where you might get a mix of some of the polarization that would be in there. I would still expect some improvement, but I would also expect it might be very different.
Right. I mean, I think that's very frequency dependent, right? Especially at higher frequencies, I think the body is going to be more of a, attenuator. They're going to get a lot of, again, small scale fading, reflections in close to the receiver. Lower frequencies, you may be right that it starts to become part of the receiving unit itself. But if you look at the reflective properties and if it is part of the fading part of the equation, again, circular polarization is going to fill in those little holes and gaps that are created by the destructive interference created by your body.
At what bit error rate were you starting to see picture impairments?
This was not picture. This was a P25 LAN mobile system. Okay. So we were basically just looking at pure bit error rate within that system. Okay. Now, The testing really should be independent of the modulation scheme. The modulation, if you look at higher order modulation schemes and you look at bit error rate versus SNR curves, that tends to just shift them. But when you add the fading into it, it just flattens them out. So the difference between vertical and circular should be independent of the modulation scheme.
Okay, so you said it was a P25, so it's a narrow band, mobile television, that's wide band, so the multipath is going to affect it across the bandwidth a lot more. Is there any way of telling, one in a 6 megahertz band, band to the other, how much is it going to affect? Or should it be, well, should it be fairly constant?
Destructive interference is at the same frequency, right? So if you spread that over the wide band, you should still see a less, much less variability in the signal strength due to multipath, whether you're broadband or narrowband. It just depends on where those nulls lie in the, because of the you know, the frequency itself.
I noticed that during your, during the mobile tests, you used three different paths. Was there a particular reason that the same path wasn't used to test each antenna setup?
Time of day, traffic. That was the driver's choice.
Did you have any chance to look at elliptical versus full circular polarization?
Not in this case, but I did do a presentation here 2 years ago in which I talked about elliptical polarization. And it turned out that in our controlled experiments, we didn't do any field testing with elliptical, but in controlled experiments that a 6633 or 50% ERP seemed to be best in a high scatter environment. And that's because there's much more scattering in the vertical plane than there is a horizontal, right? We live in a vertical world with trees, buildings, whatever, so you would expect the effect on vertical to be heavier than a horizontal. And that's why the curve seems to shift down towards that 66-33 split.
Are you starting to deploy circular polarization now in APCO 25 systems?
We are proposing it, yes.
And what about moving away from the stick type antenna on, say, walkie-talkies and moving towards a loop or something like that?
On the receiver end?
Correct.
We haven't done any work on the receiver end. Everything that we have done is assuming that the receiver will always be linearly polarized. You know, the problem with trying to get a circularly polarized antenna into a very small package is very difficult, because for CP you really need two dimensions of antenna. And everybody wants the receiving device to be smaller and smaller. And you know, and a lot of times, no matter what antenna you put inside the receiver itself becomes, it acts like a dipole. The circuit board is the receiver. And that is linearly polarized. So all of our assumptions have been based on, you know, nobody's going to accept a circularly polarized antenna at the handheld side.
John, I may have missed this. What was the power ratio vertical to horizontal in your transmission?
They were equal ERP. In other words, we doubled the gain on the antenna to make sure that, so that on per polarization, we had equal ERP.
Okay.
And that's why we did all of our testing from 3 miles out, because the null fill would be a little bit different in close. So we were always on the main beam. Okay, yep, thank you.